Dr. DeBell told me this week that somebody wants to rebuild the Titanic. I hadn't heard that. I'm not sure who's doing it. I didn't ask him that, but I did think about the original Titanic back in 1912. Supposedly, the builder or some of the crew members said, even God couldn't sink this ship. Humans think great thoughts of themselves. And with that attitude, even God couldn't sink this. What human pride, and as you know, it didn't even make it on one voyage. Went down with great loss of life. Humans think great thoughts of themselves and little about God. Human wisdom may seem so good, but it is deadly spiritually. We've made great advances in science and medicine, but now we think we can explain everything scientifically. So who needs God, right? Or humans think, if there is a God, we'll define him, we'll define who he is and determine for ourselves what's true about him and acceptable, and what we will accept even in his word, the Bible. But we can't trust our own ideas. We must turn humbly to God and trust his word for true wisdom. I invite you to turn to Psalm 139. We're going to mainly read verses 1 through 6, but I think for the sake of reading, we'll read verse 7 also, and then also verses 13 through 18. Psalm 139, a psalm of David. David honors God as the one who is omniscient, who knows everything, the one who is omnipresent, the one who is everywhere, the one who is sovereign over all of life and all of our days. Let's stand for the reading of God's word, Psalm 139, 1 through 7, and then 13 through 18. O Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? In verse 13, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you, and I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I'm still with you. This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God will stand forever. Amen. You may be seated. Continuing our study on the attributes of God, and this is God's omniscience today. God knows everything. God knows everything at every moment. He knows himself perfectly. He knows us perfectly. God knows all things actual, possible, past, present, and future. God never learns or discovers. No one instructs God. God is never surprised. He knows all possibilities. What could have been or what might have been. We see this in the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew 11, 21 to 23. Jesus is condemning the cities that are rejecting him. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it'll be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You'll be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Wow. God knows the past, present, and future exhaustively or completely. Matthew 10, 29 and 30, Jesus is telling his disciples in the context to fear God, don't fear humans, because God knows everything. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. I hit a sparrow with my car this week, and I'm sure it died. But I thought of this passage, and the Father knew about that little sparrow. And verse 30, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. What is there, 7 billion humans on this earth? And God knows everyone's, God knows how many hairs are on everyone's head at the same time. God knows I have a few thousand less than most of you. I think, anyway. But Psalm 147, 4 and 5, he determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. And science today, and you know, our probes we've set out with the pictures of billions and billions of stars and millions of galaxies that are the beyond number, we can't even count them. God knows every one of those stars. He created them all. He spoke and they came to be, and he gives them all their names. In Psalm 147, verse 5, great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. Infinite. So open theism is wrong. What's open theism? We've mentioned it quite a few times over the years, but it's a modern heresy that began in the 1980s or so. And it says that God interacts with us. He doesn't know the future fully, completely. He doesn't know your free choices in the future that you'll make. And so as you make them, then God interacts. God's a good chess player, is how they describe it. And you move this way, he'll move that, he'll move this way. God's very good at plans A, B, C, and D. It's blasphemy. God knows everything already and what will happen. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 says, remember the former things of old, for I'm God and there's no other. I'm God and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. Isaiah 48, 5 through 7 is emphasizing God is God. God's not like your silly human idols, because God is able to tell us the future, definitely. In the context of Isaiah 48, it's about Cyrus. The prophet Isaiah actually predicts Cyrus will come and let God's people return from Babylon 150 years before Cyrus is even born. Which today is why so many liberal boys read Isaiah and say, well, Isaiah couldn't have written the last part of it because it predicts the future. But the whole point is, that's why he's God. He says to you, I declared them to you from of old, before they came to pass. I announced them to you, lest you should say, my idol did them. My carved image and my metal image commanded them. You've heard, now see all this. And will you not declare it? From this time forth, I announced to you new things, hidden things that you've not known. They are created now, not long ago. Before today, you've never heard of them, lest you should say, behold, I knew them. In other words, God is God because he can predict with certainty the future, because he knows it. David Platt calls this, about God knowing everything, the humbling, terrifying, glorious truth. Is that God knows us completely, including all our sin and selfishness. That's what David's saying here in Psalm 139. You discern my thoughts from afar. He knows us inside and out, including every secret thought. Every thought you've ever had in your room in the middle of the night, all by yourself, no one else is around. Before a word is on your tongue, God knows what you're going to say. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. No one hides anything from God ever. The Bible says that night is like daytime to God. People think they'll do stuff in the night and no one's going to see them. God sees everything. He sees into our hearts. This should cause terror in the hearts of unbelievers, those who are rejecting God. That's why Platt calls it a terrifying truth. But for the believer, it should be a comforting truth that God knows you more than you know yourself. And he has accepted you totally. In Christ, he's already seen us at our worst, his enemies as sinners, and has fully accepted us in the beloved Jesus Christ, his Son. God knows everything. We can trust him. And God has all wisdom, secondly. Wisdom is the use of knowledge in the best and right way. God always plans and purposes what is the best for his glory and for our own good. He always achieves his purposes by the best means. Everything God does is done in perfect wisdom. Romans ends with the doxology, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the only wise God. We see the display of God's wisdom in his creation, in his providential control of history, and especially in his plan of salvation through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:17-25. The Apostle Paul says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." It's one of his big themes in the first part of Corinthians, that I didn't come to you with glowing words and fancy human wisdom. I came preaching nothing but Christ and the cross. "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart." Where is the one who's wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? "For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." God's wisdom is seen ultimately in the cross of Jesus Christ. The scandalous death of his own beloved son on a cross as a criminal, as the only way of salvation. Who would ever come up with that except God himself? And it's all of his grace. "For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles," stupidity. "But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." God takes our human ideas and stands them on their head and brings Jesus Christ and the cross. God's wisdom will always glorify himself, just like everything he does. And is. So God's wisdom always excludes all human boasting. 1 Corinthians 1 continues, verse 29. "God did all this so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." No one's going to stand before God and say, "Look what I did. I worked my way to you, God. I earned my way into heaven. I helped you with my salvation." No way. Salvation is God's work from start to finish. It's based on his wisdom, based on Jesus Christ and the cross. Christ himself is God's wisdom in person. 1 Corinthians 1:30 again. "And because of him, because of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Everything we need is found in Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:3. "Understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want true knowledge? You want true wisdom? Find it through Jesus Christ and a relationship with Him. That's where wisdom begins. Well, God's wisdom is often contrasted with human wisdom in the Bible. Human or worldly wisdom rejects God's truth, ignores the grace of God, ignores the cross of Christ, and considers it foolishness. Human wisdom exalts humanity, not God, and falls short of the true knowledge of God. No one can ever come to know God by human reason or philosophy. No one's ever going to be able to reason their way up to God. We need His Word. We need His revelation through in the Word of God through and about Jesus Christ. Today, human wisdom deliberately turns from God and says, life came from non-life. That's what evolution, as the English call it, evolution, macroevolution teaches, that random atoms smacked together and created all the order we see in the universe, even down to the amazing, complicated, unexplainable single cell. The wisdom of man falls short of the true knowledge of God. In Romans 1 we read, for although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Or even random chance, right? 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, we read, for instance, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. Again, the world is not going to be able to reason the way to God. It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Human wisdom leads to death and strife. Proverbs 16:25 says, there's a way that seems right to a man. It makes sense logically to humans. But its end is the way of death, especially in religion, right? People think, well, if our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds, you know, if we're pretty good people, we're not as bad as people across the street, and then God will accept us. It's all based on human wisdom and logic. Because Jesus said, I'm the only way to the Father. It's only through faith in Christ. Human wisdom says we can solve our own problems without God, right? I mentioned 1918, the Great War ended with the armistice, or stopped with the armistice on the 11th day at the 11th hour of the 11th month. The war to end all wars came to an end, but it carried the seeds of resentment leading to the rise of Adolf Hitler and the Nazis in the 20s, and eventually World War II itself. No one saw this coming in 1918 as they punished Germany with all kinds of punitive war reparations, they were called. They had to pay all kinds of payments. It ruined the German economy. The League of Nations was set up to, in human wisdom, the League of Nations would take care of any future wars before they happened, right? So much for human wisdom. Well, James 3:13-18 says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic, the selfish ambition. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there'll be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Finally, we must trust God's wise plan for us. Because God knows everything and He has all wisdom, trust His plan. Trust God's wisdom, not your own. Recognize the limits of human wisdom, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We often quote at graduation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, on human wisdom. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Tozer wrote, with the goodness of God to desire our highest welfare, the wisdom of God to plan it, and the power of God to achieve it, what do we lack? So let us seek God's wisdom above all. Proverbs 4, 7. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Harvard University was founded in 1636, especially for the training of pastors. Here's part of the student rules in 1636. Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider that the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, who is eternal life. John 17:3. And therefore to lay Christ in the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning. And seeing the Lord only giveth wisdom, let everyone seriously set himself in prayer in secret to seek it of Him. Proverbs 2 and 3. Everyone shall so exercise himself in reading the Scriptures twice a day that he shall be ready to give such an account of his proficiency therein. Needless to say, Harvard no longer has those rules. We've come a long ways, right? We get wisdom from the fear of God, the Word of God, learning from others, and through prayer. Psalm 111, 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Fear includes knowing God and His majesty and fear of displeasing His holy name and the desire to honor Him. The Word of God, we get wisdom from, for example, Psalm 119, 98 through 100. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, which ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. Wisdom comes from the Bible, God's Word. It comes through others. In the multitude of counselors, there's much wisdom. We seek others' counsel and godly counsel. And it comes through prayer, James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Especially in dealing with trials and tribulations in the context, Lord, I don't know how to respond to this. I don't know what to do in this situation. Let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Let him ask in faith. Let God's wisdom govern and guide your entire life. Ephesians 5:15-18. Look carefully then how you walk, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. Wisdom includes using our time wisely for God every day as a gift from Him. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled, be controlled with the Spirit. Ongoing control of the Spirit. God's way is always the best way, no matter what the world says. The world says, follow your heart and do what you want. The world says, love whomever you will, right? The world says, everything is okay in love. Premarital sex, extramarital sex, same sex, on and on and on. It's all about you and your happiness. Human wisdom says, even live together before marriage. Make sure you're compatible. I remember a junior high kid back in the 80s telling me, Pat, would you buy a new pair of shoes without trying them on? Arguing for living together back then, you are already. We're not talking about shoes, we're talking about commitment and honoring God. But even university studies, my son Brendan wrote an article for USA Today blasting the idea that living together is good. quoting not the Bible, but secular studies themselves, university studies showing that living together actually leads to more broken relationships and even more future divorce when people do marry. Contrary to all human wisdom, God says, follow my word. For example, this is God's will for you, your holiness, that you abstain from sexual immorality. 1 Thessalonians 4, or that greed is idolatry, Colossians 3. God says, follow my word. We need God's wisdom to live a Christian life in the power of the Holy Spirit. God in his wisdom has revealed all we need to know, especially in Jesus Christ. God tells us how everything ends. We know the future. You know, read Revelation, right? I've read the back of the book and we win. Actually, the Lamb wins. I've said this many times, but the summary of the book of Revelation is the Lamb wins. Jesus Christ wins the victory, eternal victory. It's sure. Judgment for the wicked and the unbelievers. A new heaven and a new earth and glory for believers. Where there's no more death or crying or mourning or pain, for the old order has passed away. God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. But there are certain truths that God has not revealed to us about his plans for the world. Will there be massive persecution of Christians before the end comes? I don't know. God hasn't told us. He says there's going to be tribulations coming, and there are now, and there'll be great tribulation in the end. But is there going to be more world wars? We don't know for sure. Jesus said there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. What about our own personal lives? You know, there's no scripture that says Pat Clary will serve as pastor at country. I mean, you know, it's not, our own personal lives are not all spelled out in the Word. But God directs us and leads us, doesn't he? Day by day and year by year. Looking back, we can often see God's wisdom. I never would have chosen myself to go to Kansas. I've shared that before. Can anything good come out of Kansas? You know, when the guy asked me. Anyway, is what I said. But God led us there for 11 years. God used it to grow us and give us all five of our kids, with a doctor there who God used to help with Colleen and the hormone things we had. We had three miscarriages, and we met this doctor out there, and he prescribed these certain things, and we never had another miscarriage by God's mercy. Now we're here. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, David says. But Deuteronomy 29:29, one of my favorite verses, says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. He doesn't explain everything to us. Why did he create Satan? Why did he let Satan fall? I mean, those things, I can't. But the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. That's right here. That we may do all the words of this law. When Paul looks over salvation history, how God is revealing himself to the Gentiles, and the Jews are largely rejecting, and they're blinded. But someday the gospel will come back around to the Jews. He emphasizes in Romans 11, and God's Lord over all of history. And he ends up in absolute praise is where we should end up too, in God's wisdom. Oh! Paul bursts out in emotion. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Romans 11, 33-36. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. We can't figure them out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who's given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. So we trust in God's wisdom. God constantly encourages us to trust him even in the dark, even when we don't understand. God says to us, and I love this quote from Tozer. Here it is. What I am is all that need matter to you. For there lie your hope and your peace. I will do what I will do, and it will all come to light at last. But how I do it is my secret. Trust me, and be not afraid. Are you trusting him today in his wisdom? Who or what do you trust for guidance and direction of your life? Do you trust God's own very word, or do you trust your own human ideas or other people's opinions? Do you trust God's own Son, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to God, or you trust some human idea or opinion? Are you delighting in God's knowledge and wisdom? Are you obeying what he said in his word? Walking in true wisdom means a desire to obey God for his glory. Not our own desires, not our own wants, but to go his way, because he's the only wise God. And finally, will you trust God's wisdom even when you don't understand? Even in painful circumstances or times of great loss when you don't exactly know what's going on? Or even when elections don't go the way you want, and will you still trust God? He's in control. Trust his wisdom. We must trust God's wisdom, not our own. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are the only wise God. You know everything. You know us. You know what you will do all through history and on into eternity. So help us then, Lord, to trust you for today, for this week, for each day of our lives, to take them as a gift from your hand and desire to surrender ourselves to you daily, to honor you, and to walk in wisdom ourselves as led by your word, by the power of the Spirit, for the glory of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.